Lula Blair Westbrook, Texas Art, Sin and Salvation Who Done It. Welcome to the uniquely designed All-American Pearls of Wisdom. There are at least two ghost narratives with a Nurse Betty analogy. One cradled in Denton, Texas. The other embedded in the double-dealing make-believe city of Dewberry, located somewhere in Middle America. By honeyed words or cajolery, two nurses allegedly pregnant and murdered by their drop-game lovers, and later cited as ghosts, circa 1931. Who done it? Circa 30 AD, the year of our Lord, the first sinner and thief. According to the Bible, this sinner made it into heaven. Bible scholars would know for certain, but as it appears, the sinner would have been a ghost until Jesus ascended into heaven. Our narrative consumed the midnight oil, the night the gin burned. The night the gin burned is an excerpt from an interview with Catherine Porter of Pelham, Navarro County, Texas. The noted video was given permission to be placed on the Ancestry Thread website. The discussion was conducted in the home of Mrs. Porter, now deceased, to ensure her comfort and to ease any apprehension which may had arisen from such an experience. Copyright Whodunit Acknowledgement. Whodunit. Preface. Born with a pure heart. Whodunit. Introduction. The people phenomenon. Whodunit. TOC. Given a place. Whodunit. Given a place. Whodunit. Chapter 1. The spectral folk departed. Whodunit. Chapter 2. The nearly related. Whodunit. Conclusion. International. Lula Blair Westbrook. Whodunit. About. Person equity. Contents. Whodunit by Lula Blair Westbrook. Notably, most interviews are conducted in the home of or the chosen environment of the interviewee. This technique serves as proof of the importance of the endearment factor, or simply stated, an interview should belong to the interviewee as opposed to the interviewer. This is a concept highly regarded by the director of genealogy. We talk about ghosts not to frighten you, but to enlighten you to salvation. The second thief and sinner to make it into heaven was the thief on the right-hand side of Jesus, at the crucifixion. The thief on the left side of Jesus wanted to come down. The thief on the right-hand side of Jesus wanted to go up with Jesus. The Bible says he was in paradise with Jesus that day. Copyright February 20th, 2023. Preparing include a copyright of this title page. Whodunit. All rights reserved. Lula Westbrook. Include the American International Coin Corporation and all other authorship marks contained herein are the American International Coin Corporation intellectual property. Copyright sign. 2023. Lula Westbrook. Dedicated MoMA. Dad. Louis. Lil Chez. Lil Chris. Lil LaShawn. Big Roy. Lil K Squeeze. Lil Eugene. Lil Momi. Vice President Kamala Harris. Former First Lady Michelle Obama. Former First Lady Laura Bush. David Faborg. John T. Stanky and David Huntley. Bobby. Peter. Robbie. Erica. Joshua. Max. Alton and Tony. John and Tracy. Gary Sarah. Norman. Dana. And Joni. Shelley and Missy. In the memory of Henry and Fanny. Wesley and Lula. William and Celia. Majera. Mary Jo Judice. Jean Cooper, Catherine Atterbury, Samantha Denbo, Mary Carter, Angelica, Suzanne Steed, everybody, and their fabulous moms and dads, husbands and wives, descendants, and those in their memories. Acknowledgement. McDonald's The Guardian. Lula Blair Westbrook. Whodunit. Preface. Born with a pure heart. We began with all Texans are especially good. This has extra special meaning with Dana. Her name is on almost everything in Navarro County. We, Mom, and me, have known Dana for a very long time. She's the type of person you want to have as a friend. Her interview skills are impeccable, but that's who she really is, 100% authentic. Dana was born with a pure heart. People with pure hearts have no fear. Corsicana Public Library. Dana Stubbs. Having a relaxed, unencumbered interviewee is tantamount to trust. When possible, let the interviewee select the place. It's important for the overall outcome of the interview that respect and courtesy is utmost on the minds of the interviewer, camera crew and everyone involved. The site should also reflect the subject of the dialogue. Take for instance the 1850s Haynes home located in Corsicana. A chosen environment for this home could represent the earliest for social life. In addition, it would serve as an elegant example of 1850 style perfected for an interview with dialogue concerning that era. In essence, it opens the intricate and interesting narrative and backdrop for how genealogy, pearls of wisdom could be envisioned in a different time and place. One of the best examples in modern scenic artistry on how to conduct an interview has been perfected by Stubbs, which includes a video with an exclusive dialogue. In this interview, Stubbs appears to enrapture the audience by making everybody more genealogically wiser. As the content technique wraps and evolves into Mrs. Stubbs' Pearls of Wisdom, Within the highly perfected interview, we find a timeline that's first complete with pearls of wisdom, and second exemplary of how understanding and wisdom go hand in hand. Equally important, it was created from the oral history of Pelham, an interview with Mrs. Catherine Porter. When carefully listened to, we hear the love for Pelham, which sounds much like Oz. In The Wizard of Oz, Pelham, from its early settlers, has always been a deeply rooted place where everyone appears to be happiest when they're checking in on the welfare of everybody else. Equally endearing are the good neighboring arms of Corsicana, with arms that stretch wide similar to Dorothy's in The Wizard of Oz. The difference here, the yellow brick road would be affectionately called Forks in the Creek. Fans of Oz will recall how Dorothy greeted each of her interviewees while walking the yellow brick road. She allowed each one the time needed to express their oral histories and narratives in the comfort of their chosen environment or home. These are only a few examples for interviewing from a comfortable point of view. There's one other. We don't want to forget memories of the past. The Haynes home in Corsicana dates back to before the Civil War, a time when there was an eagerness, almost a hunger to hear what someone else had to say. These types of interviews are the best because they're edge-of-seat riveting. Mrs. Stubbs has revived and replicated her version, modernized with the times. The element is now updated for everyone to view on video. In scene 1, we find Mrs. Stubbs is seated off-camera inside the Porter's home. Pelham survives, and will continue to survive out of respect for what Navarro County instilled in them, and the will of their ancestors. There are haunting sites located in Corsicana. The Texas staircase visions are seen at night on the abandoned staircase of an old county hospital, located in Corsicana, Texas. The same theory applies with this haunting as with the crucifixion of Christ. People have stated that those who descended down the staircase were destined for hell, and those who were ascending up the staircase were headed toward heaven. Most Christians would certainly like to believe that those who ascended the staircase were born with a pure heart. Lula Blair Westbrook, whodunit. Introduction: The Person Phenomenon. Lula Blair Westbrook, whodunit. TOC. Given a place, Lula Blair Westbrook, whodunit. Chapter 1. The spectral folk that haven't departed. In an interview with Dr. Rivers' sister, her home, that day, Nurse Betty was on duty at the old folks' home when Mr. Brown's limo rolled into town. The story in the first place is located in the make-believe city of Dewberry. The similarities between Denton, Texas Nurse Betty and the Dewberry nurse were too great to keep its original unnamed name. So, the city fathers decided on the name Dewberry. Dr. Rivers was one of the best medical doctor and psychiatric doctor statewide. But the strength of Dr. Rivers couldn't alone maintain the city's stellar image, which catapulted the city fathers to create this swank elitist idea. They agreed to build a skyscraper that included homes, businesses, offices, and locate everything in a single 50-story structure. This would all be occurring simultaneously while the town waited on the city's new construction to be complete. The long wait for the suburban family homes to be built forced everyone in the city to know everything about everybody's personal life. Nurse Betty worked for my brother in his private office on the 10th floor, in the Dewberry United building, said Miss Jigerton. In an interview with the Dewberry bakery lady, her home, we delivered bread to Dr. Rivers daily. Employees recalled Nurse Betty had green eyes. She was also my brother's mistress, lover and everything else. My brother didn't get angry when she started using his name to get credit cards, because he was too busy. She would act silly to get attention. There were days she would answer the telephone, like, "This is Dr. Rivers' office, Betty Rivers speaking." When the caller asked if Nurse Betty was the doctor's wife, she'd say, "Yep, my brother was cool about it until Nurse Betty got pregnant. My brother was married to Navy Rivers. They had pets but no children while on cruises." Miss Navy came close to pushing Nurse Betty overboard. "This went on for years, because we delivered his bread for years," said Scarlett. In an interview with the limousine driver in his home, "A great many people were in and out of the limousine at all times of the day and night. Dewberry was more classic than classy. Anything a human being could ever dream or imagine existed in inside Dewberry United." When the mild-mannered Dr. Rivers had enough, everyone including his partner Dr. Flowers knew it. "That's just how it was. Another woman wants your fella, and is blatant about it 24/7. Inside this tight little community, everybody was on Dr. Rivers' side secretly. According to the Grapevine Connection, everyone also looked the other way. Why, you asked? Because he was a good doctor. That plus no other doctor with Dr. Rivers' status and certifications would put up with Mayor Mutton's wife. She was all white lies and wild, wild west. Bang bang. With Velma Mutton, you never knew when you were going to hear that. car rapid bang, bang, said Carmine, in an interview with the physical therapist in her home. You ask, have there been any notable Nurse Betty sightings? Well, only a few people are willing to admit it. The reason? Can't say. No one wants to talk about one of the worst days in this city's history. Sure, we're on the map now, but those difficult early days are hard to forget. What Dewberry really wants is a clean slate. Everyone's trying to adjust to the new concept for Dewberry citizens, while the residents of Dewberry still remember Nurse Betty's resounding voice. Her sounded identical to like the Betty Boop voice of the 1950s. We can't bring her back. We must move forward. Whitey Brown's entertainment can take us there. He rolled his into town once. He can do it again. We want to see his white limo as it drives up again. Dewberry wants to see those whisper clean faces appear outside the white limo on the windshield as it quietly stopped. We even want to see that soft fawn haired Whitey exit his limo and enter Dewberry's only exclusive care facility called the Old Folks Home. Our team was called because we're Whitey's hosts. The facility administrator said Mr. Brown was really it's wrong how his mother-in-law was being treated. Dewberry Old Folk Home banner was bad enough. There was no need to add insult to injury in and outside the facility. Ms. Pilsner continues. Sadly, no one wants to work. Everyone is a queen bee. Ms. Bahala, Mr. Brown's mother-in-law became too curious a nonagenarian that day, and wanted to know why each time the director of nurses entered her room she refused to remove her empty food tray? When she asked for her tray to be removed, the don repetitively set her tray atop the chest of drawers inside her room. Ma'am, are you the D.O.N.? Ms. Bahala nonchalantly asked at first. When the don responded with an affirmative nod, Ms. Bahala wanted to know why the don kept leaving the tray in her room when she could clearly see where all of her food had been eaten. She wanted to know why then must the tray be an eyesore. She said her cousins were with her, and everybody wanted to get a good look at Whitey Brown, their family's famous international celebrity. Ms. Pilsner continues. After exiting my room, while walking down the hall to the elevator, Nurse Betty was sighted by me for the first time. How on earth did she look? Well, she definitely looked dead. And, like one of those spectral folk you see on TV, who has long since departed, and hopefully crossed over to the other side, said Miss Pilsner. Lula Blair Westbrook Whodunit. Chapter 2. The dearly beloved and nearly related in an interview with Miss Bahala, her residence in a nursing home room 210. With the reporter recording, we live in a world where aunts aren't really our aunts. Uncles aren't really our uncles. Sisters and brothers aren't by the same two parents. In most cases they are a step up or a step down. We have fake friends, fake husbands and wives, fake children. People do more for the fake relatives in their lives than they do for the people who are their own flesh and blood. When we take a moment to look at what's underneath the student lamps in our lives, it's a huge mess. But the only person who has to like it is you, said Ms. Bahala. We just have one other question to ask you for our article. At your time in life, are you tech-savvy or did someone hook up your wireless internet? Asked Eric. Ms. Bahala continues. You've asked a question that's elongated. Well, it happened like this. A young man on his own time began visiting me about 5 years ago. His name's David, and he began visiting me on his own time. He would always do what he was asked to do. He was asked to hook the wireless internet up, and he did. It just so happened that the CEO and president of my telephone company, along with his vice president of compliance, had given me a free of charge wireless internet device. At that time, David had visited so much, he was no longer a visitor. Everyone felt he was dearly loved and nearly related anyway. So we asked for his help. 1 year passed, 2 years passed. He was too kind. Whatever was needed, he was there. Old folk homes don't have time for mentally active people like me. We're what they call the throwaways. In an affluent society, as you can see, good hygiene isn't possible for me either. Just tell me, in my situation, being unable to walk, is there a way for me to get to the bathroom to brush my teeth? You tell me. The answer is no. My teeth are brushed using the same pitcher water, poured from for me to drink from. You know this isn't right. It isn't right for anyone. But for someone over 90? You tell me. Because the answer is no. Was that a knock on the door? Who's there? Asked Miss Bahala. We'll get it. Oh, it's one of our reporters, said Peter. My name's Robbie. Miss Bahala, apologies for running late, said Robbie. Quite all right. Welcome. Now where were we? Miss Bahala continues. Oh, Whitey, my son-in-law, is a celebrity. He was on an international tour when this unfair equity guardian took over my life. The Guardian gets paid for doing nothing. Hasn't so much as provided me with one single winter coat. Go on. Go to that tacky closet and look for yourself. This building hasn't been left. Not for one time in 5 years. It was in the dead of winter, with snow on the ground. Everyone younger than myself were dressed wearing heavy coats. You care to guess what they gave me to wear at age 90? Don't guess, let me tell you. They gave me one see-through thin light blanket. Wait, there's more. Do you think that's right? Don't answer, because the answer is no. The unfair equity guardian leaves me not so much as a quarter for a cola. It's important because one quarter would give me at least a fraction of independence. Nothing is free here. The last meal is at 5 p.m. The next meal might not arrive until 16 hours later. No kidding. Surely, there's enough money on my books for one-fourth of a dollar. This guardian exemplifies something weird off the chart. What's that, you ask? Miss Bahala continues. Well, in simple language, it's called greed. When Nurse Betty was alive, she'd always make certain everyone here had a dollar for the weekend. If clothes needed washing, she'd taken home and wash them over the weekend. The administrator here took advantage of Nurse Betty, and now she's gone. With me having the tablet, with David's skills, he's going to look into her case on his own time. Yes, we, all of the nonagenarians at Dewberry's old folks' home. When Nurse Betty worked here, she definitely didn't receive person equity, said Miss Bahala. Miss Bahala continues. The person that murdered Nurse Betty should know that they stole a beautiful lives. Thieves are sinners. Just like the sinner cross crucified on the left of Christ, their destiny is hell. But, my 2 more years, David, my 2 other Davids, and John, for now it's so far so good. Without them, there would not be a tablet to research from. As in most old folk facilities, not having connectivity is standard. My personal residence is the place to be. So, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Reassured, my old residence is on the agenda very soon, said Ms. Bahala. Lula Blair Westbrook, who done it. Conclusion. International flavor in an interview with Ms. Bahala in her nursing home residence room 210. Eric, Peter and Bobby reporters. Sir, you're Eric, correct? Asked Ms. Bahala. Eric smiles and nods affirmatively. And the both of you are again, please? Asked Ms. Bahala, pointing at each other simultaneously. He's Peter, said. My name is Bobby, said both. Well, glad each of you came. Hope your questions were answered. And we sincerely hope that you will check back regularly for updates. Meanwhile, if you would like, kindly accept and read this helpful pamphlet on pearls of wisdom, as they might serve as a guide in your endeavors. Next time, bring something liquid and cold, with an international flavor from the Golden Arches, said Ms. Bahala. Eric, Peter, Bobby and Bobby are reading the first pearl of wisdom. Be a good listener. Always give your subject, aka the interviewee, the main focus or CU, close up. To keep current, it's important that an analysis of how well everything worked previously is conducted at least twice a year. In the short video, everything prominent is covered and the analysis is amazingly contained, with the suggestion of seasonal weather within the footage. Activity collection. Good research note. New payroll. In the second pearl of wisdom, the interviewer must come to the interview prepared. Watch and listen closely as Mrs. Stubbs exemplifies focus with Porter as she acknowledges herself as a well-respected and knowledgeable citizen of Pelham. Mrs. Stubbs takes small steps and gestures, conceived with patience to have the year of the event confirmed by the person who was the actual eyewitness. Only when it's determined that the interviewee has a memory lapse does Mrs. Stubbs quickly and professionally make an insertion by stating the date. Mrs. Stubbs then moves on to the next question. 5 interconnected statements emerge in Mrs. Stubbs' pearls of wisdom. The third pearl of wisdom: never let the interviewee feel embarrassed. With the exception of very wise people having incredible intuition, remnants of the 1800s left behind many secondary sources as a constant reminder of the past. The one-of-a-kind recorded first-hand accounts and oral histories exist only as rare moments in time. As an example, there's no one alive today to interview who actually traveled in a ferry boat on the Red River. There's no one left who could possibly bring back memories of a wagon traveling overland. Unbiased recollections would bring the world to a halt if there actually was someone living today who knew or could tell the narratives of the past. Another example: eyewitness accounts of Red River narratives in the past. There were ferry boats with travelers who actually saw that the river was indeed the color red. These people have all vanished into the great beyond. Watch the video and listen closely at a 20th century excitement retrieval. Hear how Mrs. Porter stressed as her brother drove with excessive speed and her sister screamed everyone was going to die, as they made their way to the burning Pelham Gin. The viewer is given the same intensity as seeing for the first time that the color of the Red River was actually red. Mrs. Stubbs' exhibition of focus specifically on the interview as opposed to the storytelling just happens to be Stubbs' fourth pearl of wisdom. Be careful. Do not get so drawn into the storytelling that you forget the purpose of the interview. Life traveling overland would be complacent today, but not in the 1800s. On a ferry boat, the captain makes that decision for you. Interviewing is much like travel by ferry boat. The significance of the interviewer is to overarch a better feel for what's important. In genealogy, learning new words like patrilineal and matrilineal are good when you have full comprehension of their meaning. Gentle coaching is good for helping the interviewee to have their own final say or verbal confirmation. Which brings us to our fifth and final pearl of wisdom. Remember to write names down. Mrs. Stubbs sealed the deal by asking for the names of Mrs. Porter's brother and sister. We learn from the video that Mrs. Porter's sister's name was Martha, and her brother was called Booker T. A great interview to watch in under 10 minutes, and an interviewee phenomenal success. We have definitely used pearls of wisdom to unravel the murder of Nurse Betty, said Peter the reporter. Perchance it was because Nurse Betty couldn't have the fella she wanted. Then, again, as luck may have it, Nurse Betty played out drastic actions that ended her life. Peradventure, Betty's pregnancy might have been a factor when the Bahala interview was conducted using techniques from pearls of wisdom. A general consensus was reached. The international conclusion, Nurse Betty slit her wrists. But why? According to the biblical model for sin and salvation, did Nurse Betty ascend up or did she descend downward? And did I, the ghost of Sycamore Library, intentionally push the right or wrong book off the shelf? And were the fingerprints lifted from the book belong to Nurse Betty? Find out in Chapter 3, Lula Blair Westbrook Whodunit, about person equity created by Lula Blair Westbrook.